All right, if we take our Bibles this morning, and we've come to the last gift that we've been going over, this chapter 21, looking at the gift of discernment, gift of discernment. So I've been looking forward to this one because I believe discernment is something that God gives to everyone in differing amounts. However, there are some people that have a gift of it. Brother Coe, can you have him turn down a little bit more, maybe about three more marks? I never tested it over here, so it's a little louder than I said it originally. All right, a little bit. There we go. They are perfect right there. All right, so we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so this is our last week together in this series that we've been going through, I think since November, I think, maybe January. It's been since January that we've been going through this. And so we're going to be finishing it up. But what a gift to finish it out on. Definitely kind of leaving the best for last here. But this is a service gift. We talk about spoken gifts. These are service gifts. We talked about faith and mercy and helps and different things like that over the last couple of weeks. But today we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, and the last of the 18 gifts of the Spirit, and the last of the 10 permanent present gifts, and the last of the 6 present service gifts is discernment in 1 Corinthians 12, 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, what does discern mean? Discernment means to perceive or to distinguish good from evil or right from wrong or a correct spirit from a bad spirit. There are sometimes people that we meet and that we know, and they said there's something off about them. The Holy Spirit lets us know something, said that there's something off about them. You don't know quite what it is, and you discern that though there's maybe not something externally that you see, that there's something internal that is a problem, and that is called discernment. And there are different types of discernment. We're going to look at two types this morning. Sometimes we have discernment based on experience. Maybe we went through something. Maybe we did something, and you can go right ahead, Benjamin. They're in there. Go right ahead. Maybe there is a situation that we went through, and because of that, we see the hallmarks of different things going on in someone's life, or we see the different hallmarks of a situation that we see, hey, we discern that this is going to happen again, that this is going to happen to me again, and you can use that discernment, and that's from experience. What the gift of discernment is, and distinguishing a discerning of spirits, is a spiritual gift that God gives, and that goes beyond our experience. So I want us to understand that. And so let's look at some things here. God gives to some in the congregation the ability to distinguish when someone is of the right spirit and when they are not. Now, David was described in 2 Samuel 14:17 as having this by the woman from Tekoa. Then thine handmaid said, the word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable, for as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore the Lord thy God will be with thee. And this is exactly what also Solomon asked for in 1 Kings 3:9. When he asked the Lord, I'll give you anything that you desire. What do you desire? He asked this, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that it may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the very famous example that we see found is the example of Solomon, that two women were claiming that the baby was there, that a child was theirs. And they both vehemently claimed. And then Solomon, in his wisdom, said, well, if they cannot decide who is which is which, then cut the baby in half and give one half to each of them. And one of the women said, no, don't do that. Give her to the other woman. The other woman said, go ahead, cut the baby in half. And Solomon perceived that it was the mother who said to spare her child's life, even if to give it to a perfect stranger, give it to someone that was not its mother in order to preserve its life. That's motherly love. That's natural affection. And that's wisdom God gave to him. And so we see here that the gift that God gave to Solomon and to David was that of discernment. And definitely being in the position of leadership that he was in, being the king of Israel, I think you would need discernment, discerning many things. I can just think for a moment all the things that David and Solomon had to discern, whether the right judgments. Also Samuel, as a judge of the land, he had to discern what was right and wrong, what was true and what was false. David and Solomon also, they had to receive emissaries from other countries. countries and to perceive if these people were actually of a genuine and truthful mission or they were there to spy out the land. So many things to discern, but God gave it to them. And there's a lot of things to discern in this life because the devil is very good at masking things and disguising things. Very good at subtly bringing things in. Very good at infiltrating the camp. And so we need to have that discernment and be open to it and ask the Lord for it, and he will give that. Also, Malachi also spoke of discernment in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And that's when something that we run into a lot of today. People that say they serve God but really don't. And people that say they love God and really don't. They draw nigh to me with their lips, the Lord says, but their heart is far from me. And that's a discernment that God can give to people. It is a gift given to the fellowship to protect its members from gullibility. Gullibility. This is a testimony that Brother Starr gave. Several years ago, a fellow stopped at our church. I sensed he was a problem person. After several phone calls, I found out that he was the hub of a doctrinal error in church problems in another fellowship. God let me have special discernment that day. One preacher described discernment with a cashier at a bank. After several months of handling money, they can tell the real bills from the false bills by their feel. From that, we learn that regular discernment can be obtained by meeting people and learning what is true. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Let's see it this morning, Hebrews chapter 5. And we see that there is a gift here of discernment, but also the discernment that comes from experience. The experience of a cashier knowing what bills are genuine and false is a experience-based discernment. We know whether something is genuine or not. Maybe you're familiar with Rolex watches, you know, with, wow, Rolex, you know, super expensive watches, you know. If you're familiar with them, you know that they have certain trademarks about them. They have special insignias on the back and certain things that authenticate, that present its authenticity. Now, you might go into this market, especially I was in Chicago one time and went to the part of Chinatown there, they call it, and went to the markets there, and they had Rolex watches. I mean, man, and they were only like $100. I mean, usually $1,000, you know, a Rolex Submariner for $100, you know, and looking at it, and I was like, man, and someone was like, man, I'm going to buy that. But you're selling it for $100, you know it's not real, and you can look at it, and it doesn't have the marks of authenticity to it. And so you can look at it, or maybe someone has bought one of those for $100, and now they're going to go and try and sell it to somebody for $10,000. And they look at, man, this looks great, you know, and you find out that the gold plating is really gold paint and things like that. We know the famous stories of con men that did that. Why? Because the people that bought from them did not discern. They just like, oh, this is a good deal, made a quick deal, made a quick decision. And that's why it's very dangerous sometimes to make quick decisions, because there are people, and especially when someone's pressing you to make a quick decision, there's usually a problem there. When there's a car salesman and they're pressing you to make a quick decision, that's part of their job, to get people to make decisions so they can make money. And when I bought my car I have now, I actually liked the salesman. He wasn't a pressure salesman at all. He just showed me the car. He said, if you don't want it, I don't want to sell it to you. But if you do want it, you know, I'll be here. He wasn't a pressure salesman at all. I really liked him. I bought the car from him, but there's other ones I've been to. Man, they're just pressing me. You need to buy it today. It'll be gone tomorrow. It'll be gone in the next 10 minutes. I mean, I have 5 people lined up to take a test drive right now, which probably wasn't true. But they try and get you to buy that, and then you say, I've got to get it. I like the car. And then you buy it, and then you have buyer's regret. How many of us have buyer's regret? We buy it, and they're like, oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't such as good a deal as you thought it was, you know, and I got this car for $10,000, and you find your friend, you talk to them, hey, you have the same car. Oh, really? I bought it for $7,500. It has less miles on it than yours does. And you're like, oh, no, you know, and you get all upset, and you're like, man, I got taken. I didn't have discernment. And usually when we learn those lessons and have buyer's regret once or twice, we usually avoid getting it again because we're much more careful. Hey, why? Because we learned something. Hey, I rushed into a decision. I had buyer's regret. I don't want to have that again, so I'm not going to rush into something. I'm not going to do that. And that's experience-based discernment, usually based on the mistakes that we've made, usually based on or maybe the mistakes that other people have made. I am the youngest in my family. And I believe that's a great gift, not because I was spoiled growing up, but because I had the gift of seeing my brother and my sister make mistakes. And I saw the mistakes they made, and I made a decision, nope, I'm not making that mistake. Nope, I'm not making that one. I know I've made quite a few of my own, but I've tried to avoid those mistakes. And also, I've listened to people like my mom and my dad that said, hey, we made those mistakes, so don't go do this. Have some discernment, right? And that's what goes on today with a lot of people is my wife and I were talking about this and just different situations and people that we know, we've known throughout our life, is that we really have the spirit of Rehoboam today. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, and he decided, he heard the counsel from the older people that had been the counselors of Solomon, and then he listened to the young people, people his age, his peers, and he decided to go with the counsel of his peers instead of the counsel of the older, wiser people. And so what happened? The kingdom was split because of it. Not a good consequence. And that's what happens today. People, they look for counsel and making decisions in their life, and they hear the counsel of the older people, and they go to the counsel of the young people or the people their age or people in their realm of experience, and then they go to the older people. And usually, the older and wiser ones are the ones that we're supposed to listen to. But today, that's not the case. Older people are like, oh, they don't understand the times. I mean, they don't have that wisdom. Yes, they do. And the Bible has a lot to say about the hoary head, and that it's a crown to older men to have that, and it's a sign of respect and a sign of wisdom. So it's very important that we not get into this gullibility to listen to our peers. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says this, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So this is the experience-based, if you will, discernment, but also you will gain discernment by studying the Word of God, by living in the Word of God, walking in it, and the more skillful you are in the Word of God, the more discernment you're going to have, the more wisdom you're going to have. But it's not your wisdom, it's not experience-based wisdom, it's God's wisdom. And the wisdom also we see is a gift that God gives to people of discernment. Discernment is important because of the many decisions we face that are not clearly black and white. Now, this is something that we have to understand. As people say, well, there's shades of gray. It appears to be shades of gray to us because the devil's real good at blending things together and can't really tell one way or the other because we know some things are either right or wrong, black or white, right? We call that right or wrong. So wrong and right, or right and wrong, whichever way you want to say it, there are gray areas that appear that way to us. They appear gray, but they don't appear that way to God. It's either right or wrong according to God and His Word. It's either right or wrong. And God gives us discernment to tell us because we can't see through our experience. We can't see what's going on here. And we must pray and ask the Lord, Lord, give me discernment to show which is the right way. And you know what the problem things with gray area decisions is that it's usually, if you talk to people, you get counsel from people, you have a 50-50 decision. Some people say it's this way, some people say it's this way. And so, and you're kind of hesitant to make a decision because, you know, half of the people you talk to are going to be upset at you because you made the decision. But here it is. God will give the discernment, and God will give that decision-making power to you if you seek for it from Him. Now, some people, when they get into those gray areas, like, well, since God's Word doesn't say anything specifically about this, I must rely upon myself. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. God still has an answer for you. God still has a direction for you, and He will help you discern. So here, what are the uses for the gift of discernment? Four words are used in the Greek New Testament to communicate the word discern. And as derivatives, there are four words are translated examine, okay, prove, search, or judge. So what are we to discern? Well, discernment begins at home with examining yourself. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:28. We read this, every single time we have the Lord's Supper, which we're going to have tonight in the evening service. And that, but let a man what? Examine himself, right? So that he doesn't partake of the body of the communion unworthily. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Galatians 6:4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So begin by looking at yourself. You know, many times when people judge, sometimes hastily, other people judge on appearances or judge other areas, and they judge incorrectly, they are unwilling to judge themselves many times. That's what they think it helps them cover. Many times the people helps cover their sin by judging someone else. Well, they've got this problem, so I'm okay. No, if you're to have the discernment that God gives and the discernment that God wants you to have, you are going to have a discernment that says, Lord, what about me? Am I in the right place? Are you discerning your own path? Are you discerning your own actions? Are you discerning your own attitudes? And you know, there are times when we have an attitude that comes up in our heart and we discern, wait a minute, that's not right. We have anger that comes up. We discern, that's incorrect. We have a lust that comes up and we discern, that is incorrect. That's the beginning of the path of discernment. If you can't discern anything in your life, you're not going to be discerning anything outside of your life. You got to discern what's right here and discern according to the Word of God, not what you feel. Remember, discernment is not a feeling, okay? And some people say, you know, just a gut feeling. You know, I just trust my guts. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a discernment. God does give a lack of peace. And the Holy Spirit lets us know there's something wrong in this situation here. You know, I preached on this several weeks ago, that parents with children, and that children want to go do something. It seems innocent. It seems fine. It goes with maybe someone that you even trust. But there's just something about it that bothers you. And there's just something about it that, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And you know what? And it might have been that they were going to get into sin. Maybe there was going to be a dangerous situation. Maybe there's going to be a car accident. Maybe there's going to be something that the Lord is trying to prevent happen, to trying to guide you away from. But some people diminish that. It's like, well, I just need to be more trusting. Well, we need to trust the Lord. Right? And when the Lord's telling us something, we need to trust Him and say, Lord, okay, I'm not going to do that. Even though, and the kids say, well, why, Mom? Why can't we do this? Why? And you can honestly say, I don't have a reason. Just the Lord doesn't give me peace about it. And you know what? The more you do that, actually the more respect your children will have for you, because they know you walk with God and they know that you are discerning what is right and wrong, not trying to keep them from things, but trying to protect them. That's important to understand that. And that those type of things, and God gives that gift of discernment, and you discern those things, but begin by examining yourself daily, discerning whether you are in the right path or not according to this. This is how we discern. Now, second, we are to prove or discern what pleases God. What pleases God. Now, I just quoted a little bit ago Romans 12:2, and be not conformed this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So Romans 12:2 says the key to discerning God's will is a constant renewing of your mind, transformed to God's thinking and not conformed to the world's thinking. Notice the surrounding verses in Ephesians 5, which shows us the keys to having discernment. So we say on 5:10, verse Ephesians 5:7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You cannot discern what pleases God when you plan your fellowship with those who do not know God and who do not care about what He says. You will be swayed from caring about God's will and will lose discernment. That is important. So if you're in the midst of sin, you have no discernment. If you're in the midst of the mire, you're not going to discern what is right, because there's going to be no right there. So if we're in the midst of sin, or we're in the midst of don't have a lack of separation and sanctification in our life, lack of holiness, we're not going to have discernment. And this is hard, because the world and the world's thinking, just look at our world. Our world has lost its mind. Our culture, I mean, it's bad. It's going faster and faster, and that's what people have been saying, that our culture is going to accelerate down to the pit faster and faster and faster. And trust me, it's getting there a lot faster than it used to be. And it's going further and further and going down, down, down. I mean, our society has lost its mind. I mentioned this on Sunday, where people can't call people that someone that goes in and kills innocent people in cold blood evil. They can't call him that. He's not evil. He's just misguided, right? Hitler was just misguided. It was his daddy's fault. He didn't believe in him. You know, it was the war. It was World War I. That's what did it to him. I mean, he wasn't, and he had his artistic dreams crushed. You know, there's something interesting that I will. A little parenthetical here. If you look at Mussolini, you look at Hitler. Mussolini was a bum. Hitler was a bum. Karl Marx was a bum. And all these people did not work jobs and were failures in life. But then they decided, you know what? Instead, we won't have to work. We'll just make everyone else do it for us. That's really what communism is. Is let's let everyone else do the work for you. No one has any, and everyone takes care of one another. The state takes care of everything. So that is, but that goes against biblical principle. You don't work, you don't eat. So that is important to understand that. That's, if you look at the backgrounds of these people, that's very interesting. So discernment, discerning between good and bad, clean and unclean, according to Hebrews 5. We are discerned between good and bad. Malachi 3:18, we're discerned between wickedness and righteousness. We read that a little bit ago. What is right and what is wrong? What is wicked and what is righteous? We're discerned between types of youth. Proverbs 7:7, and be held among the simple ones, a discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. So there's going to be a difference there between someone, you know, you can tell, you know, void of understanding. You know, we think of someone like this. Oh, you know, maybe you think of void of understanding. You think of someone like Gomer Pyle or something like that. You know, you think of something like that. But that's not really the case. What it is just, you know, someone who just goes blindly into do anything, just makes quick decisions, just blindly charges on ahead, goes and does things, you know, and just partakes of everything. Hey, there's nothing bad in this. You know, just goes charging out, partying with the friends, goes charging to drugs, charging to alcohol, charging to immorality. Hey, it's no big deal. That's someone void of understanding. That's not the whole, you know, bumbling, you know, just can't figure life out. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about someone that's on a path that they don't understand where that path's going to lead them. They're void of understanding. And so that really is what it is, and the Bible calls them foolish. And they are void of understanding. They cannot discern. But they were discerned by who? Someone else from the outside. Discerned among the youths. Hey, this one's not going down the right path here. This one, why? Because of their lifestyle, because of their works, because of the things they chose to do, and the things they chose to be involved with. All right, so the name of the gift is called discerning of spirits. It is the supernatural enablement to judge from the spirit of the speaker and the utterances they hear. Did they come from God, the Holy Spirit, or from the flesh, a human energized spirit, or from an evil demonic spirit? 1 Corinthians 14. You can go there, turn over there, 1 Corinthians 14. And this right here, 1 Corinthians 14, was a very important chapter because it was the rules, if you will, or the protections of the speaking of the gift of tongues back in that time. And now, of course, we believe that that has passed off the scene. We have the completed canon of Scripture that is no longer needed. However, when it was done, there were certain protections put in place so that someone cannot get up and say whatever they wanted to say and say it was from God like they do today. That's exactly what they do. In Pentecostal churches, that's exactly what they do. They say what they want to say, and they say it's from God. Or they say something that is definitely not from God, and it wasn't their words, it's somebody else's. And we know who that. I mean, there's only two spirits in the world, the spirit of the devil or the spirit of Christ. So we see today that there was protections put there. In 1 Corinthians 14:29, it said, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. So what basically is that, you know, if do that today, is that the preachers checked out each other's sermons. And so they're up there and they're speaking. Now this is talking about prophets, but prophesying. and foretelling, preaching the truths of God's word. And they would, one would be up there preaching, the other one, and the, or the other two, if there's three there, the other two would be saying, is this guy saying what's correct? Is this a biblical sermon? And there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? Whenever missionaries are here, or whenever else is preaching, I'm sitting here, I'm sitting there, and I'm not just, you know, oblivious, just taking it all in, you know, and we've had a lot of good preaching. I'm excited about that. But there are times when they say something, I'm like, that does not line up with Scripture over here. So are you critiquing their sermons? Absolutely, that's my job. Anybody that comes in this church and preaches in that pulpit, I critique everything they say, because this is God's house and that's God's pulpit. It's not mine, it's God's. And this is where the God's word is supposed to be taught clearly and correctly. And there are times that I've gotten up there and I've said something incorrect. You know what? And loving people have come to tell me, say, you know what? That isn't what the Bible says. You know what? And I correct it. That's the job of God's people to do that. And God gives discernment. But why is discernment needed as well in simple things? Because there are some people that get up in pulpits and preach and teach with non-genuine intentions. They want to promote a doctrine that is incorrect. They want to promote their own viewpoint that is incorrect. So we must be careful of that. And also 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Notice that it appears that those with prophetic gifts often have this discernment. One speaks, the others judge. So also here, also we are clearly instructed not to believe every spirit. That warning was not just in Bible times. This is still true today. And I'll never forget this. We were up in Nolanville, the little flea market that's up. Actually, in Belton. It's Belton. The flea market, that's by the side of 35 there. And so we stopped in there. We were just going through it one Saturday. And we stopped at this one lady. She had Bibles there. And she had some King James Bibles there that she was selling for like a dollar or two. So we wanted to buy them for the church. So she ended up talking to us, like, well, I'm a prophetess. I'm like, oh, okay. And just kind of being polite about it and everything, and just like kind of move on our way. And she's like, here, I want to give this amulet to your son. Yeah, yeah. And my wife looked at me, and I said, no thanks. It's okay. She's like, well, take it. And she's like, and he took it. He had that for maybe about a minute and a half before it went in the trash. But she's like, can I pray over you guys? And I pray over you guys. Can I pray over you as parents? I'm like, okay. So, well, we have to get going. She's like, oh, just take a second. So she starts praying. And my wife and I, this is like the weirdest spirit ever had. Weirdest spirit and everything. And, well, I go to this panel. I love to stop by your church. And I'm like, well, I really don't believe we're on the same page with things doctrinally. I don't think we're on the same page, because I didn't want that walking into the church. Because that was a problem. And there was, I mean, I've had people, you know, Pentecostals and different ones, you know, pray with me and stuff like that, but never like this. This was definitely a spirit that was not of God. It was a weird spirit. It was different, and she acted in a very weird way. And when we rejected that, she started acting in a very strange way. That, oh, you know, and like that. So it was very different. And so there's a discernment that comes there, because not everything in the world is of God. There are, God is here and God's spirit is here. Praise the Lord for that. We are thankful for that. But also there are many seducing spirits, the Bible says, and many false teachers and false prophets and false spirits that are in the world. As a pastor, you know, do you believe in this hocus pocus thing and all that? No, I don't believe in that. However, I do believe that the spirits that are evil do influence people and do control people. You know, people today don't believe in demon possession of lost people. That happens. I believe a lot of these people that that do these violent acts, you know, they said they had voices in their head. That's demon possession is what it is. And I talk to people about this, and they go, oh, well, I don't necessarily believe that. It's mental health. Now, I understand there are some genuine mental health problems, but I would say a good chunk of them are caused by either demonic possession or oppression. Hearing voices in your head, that is not a mental problem, necessarily. It can be. However, most of the time, when you hear a voice in your head saying, oh, go kill yourself, that's not a mental problem. That's the devil. That's demonic. To destroy yourself. And that's exactly what the devil wants have done. We see the demoniac of Gadara. He was possessed, and he hurt himself, and the devils were trying to get him to destroy himself because they went into the dumb animals and caused them to destroy themselves, but he was fighting that, but still was a wild man and was out of control and was tormented in that, and that still happens today to people. And a lot of the psychiatric drugs that they give you, they do research, and a lot of the research that takes place in different parts of the world opens you up, and drugs will open you up to the demonic realm. That's what the purpose of them is. And you go to these different cultures, you go to Africa, you go to Papua New Guinea, you go to different places around the world in these pagan cultures, and they get high on stuff to be closer to the spirits. And that's exactly what illegal drugs is, but now, unfortunately, a lot of drugs that were once illegal, now they're just legal. They just give a pill to you now. And that opens you up to those things. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. Very powerful things. You know, before you take something, make sure, before a doctor just hands you something, make sure you check out what it's for. Because it seems that antidepressants treat everything today. They do the aches and pains, also antidepressant, here you go. I'll have a nerve pain. I'll take an antidepressant. You know, and they said, well, these are originally antidepressants, but they found out they had secondary side effects, but the antidepressant part still, one of them still works. So we need to have some discernment here. Sorry, I got off a little rabbit trail. Coming back. So discernment. So there is the scope of it, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So here are some hindrances to discernment. Appearance can cloud our judgment. Well, something's off about that, but they look okay. I mean, they dress nice, and she dresses nice. I mean, they're modest and everything. Genesis 27:23, and he discerned him not because his hands were hairy for his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. So when Jacob deceived his father into giving him the blessing, he appearances and the feel of things, it deceived him and changed his voice. Beware of judging someone by their outward appearance alone. They may have a strict standards of appearance, but be a Mormon or an apostate of any other number of things. Look beyond their appearance to what they believe and how they live. That's important. Just because they dress one way and come in on Sunday doesn't mean they go on Monday that way. You know, that used to be the case, but that's not necessarily the case anymore, especially, you know, when someone walks in to this church, and at times, and they come in, and they are dressed to the nines, and that's fine. But they are doing it in the spirit to impress. 9 times out of 10, they're doing it to impress because they're hiding something else in their life. 9 times out of 10. Now, if they're coming in to look nice because it's God's house, because they've come to worship, that's great. And that's what we're to be doing. But they come in with the spirit, well, I'm coming to impress everybody. They're hiding something usually in their life. There's sin there. Or there's an attitude there. Something's there. Because the only reason we have that is to hide something. So appearance can cloud our judgment. Also, second, emotion can cloud our judgment. I'm not talking, discernment's not emotional. Ezra 3:13, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping and of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. We need to be careful about judging things by emotions alone. If a preacher visits and preaches an empty message but with extra emotion, and everyone is enthralled, it shows a lack of discernment. A camp counselor cannot let a teenager's tears affect his counsel or decisions. We cannot let our discernment be clouded by others' emotion. I've actually been in a service where it was an empty message and it was kind of interesting. It was about a message about being genuine and not being fake, but the message wasn't genuine. It was one of those different kind of things because of things that were done and said and different things like that. It was an emotional message. I mean, people were excited. It was emotional, but there was no substance to it. That's hard to sometimes discern. We can't let our emotions get carried away. Also, our wealth can cloud judgment. Jonah 4:11, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? Our prosperity and affluency sometimes can cloud our discernment. And sometimes our age can cloud our judgment. 2 Samuel 19:35. I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my Lord the King? Holy Spirit gives to some in the church the gift of discernment so that we will not be deceived. There are some that come in, and some people have the gift of discernment, and there's some people in the church that have the gift of discernment, and I know that. And when they come and tell me something, I listen. Because maybe I didn't detect it, because I can't talk to people all the time. But maybe they talk to someone, and they're not judging hastily. Well, we just don't like that person. It's not like that. And I said, maybe as a pastor, just something's bothering me. I don't know what it is, but just maybe keep an eye on those people. Maybe it's nothing, but maybe just keep an eye on that person. Every single time, these particular people, they come and tell me that, they end up to be right. 10 out of 10, because it's not them, it's the Lord speaking to them about it. 10 out of 10, perfect track record. If you want to know one of the people that has that discernment, Mrs. Harvey does. She has never been wrong in 6 years I've been here. I'm thankful for that. Pastor Harvey has that as well, and he can discern things. Brother Hammonds has discernment as well, and different ones. And sometimes it's with age and wisdom, but also the Lord, their walk with the Lord. So these are important things that we need to discern, and the Lord gives that spirit and gives that gift to them. So we should listen to them. Let's not have the spirit of Rehoboam, where we say, well, I'll just trust in myself. I'll trust in my way. I'll trust in all of the things that I know. No, we need to trust in the Lord, and God gives that spirit of discernment to know the right hand from the left, right and wrong, good and evil, the correct path, the incorrect path. There's either right or wrong. It's not, well, I can make a middle decision. You know, I don't need to go on the right path or the left path. I can go down the middle and be fine. That's not how it works. That's what the devil wanted Adam and Eve to do. Well, you can just go down the middle path. It wasn't, you know, you can go down it was incorrect to God, but what he's not telling you is that the middle path actually will work. And you know what? That didn't work out for him. Sin is sin. Wrong is wrong, and right is right. Truth is truth, and error is error. It doesn't change because God's words doesn't change. So has God given me that gift of discernment? Or maybe you say, well, pastors, I don't have that gift, but I need discernment. I mean, I pray for discernment every day. We should as well. We have many decisions we make. We have things that we're faced with, deceptions that we're faced with, that we need discernment to know whether we're doing the right thing or not. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for the series that we've been able to go through as we conclude it today. Lord, I pray that the gifts that you have given to those sitting in here today, that they would exercise them, Lord, and they would use the gifts that you've given to them. And Lord, they're a blessing to so many people. And Lord, I pray that you would just guide and direct us in the service this morning. We pray thy blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.